Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
This 10th year of Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including Carmine Bailey, Vince Power, Rodrigo Smith Zapata, and our new patron, Eric. On this episode of DTNS, Lenovo announces the Legion Go handheld, plus quite a few other things, autonomous drones, surprise and delight, and are tech IPOs finally making a comeback? This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, September 1st, 2023. From Studio Underscore, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Columbus, Ohio, I'm Rob Dunwood.
Drawing the top tech stories from Cleveland, I'm Len Peralta.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Rob DeMello, Chief Technology Officer at Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. So good to have you on the show. You're so good at this. You were just going to introduce yourself.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. No, it's you know what you're doing, and that's why you're on the show. And we're going to talk with Rob about all of the things, and those things are going to start with the quick hits. Magic Leap announced its One AR headsets will cease to function after December 31st, 2024. So you have some time. You can't buy a Magic Leap One anymore, but the company says it will be supported through the cutoff date. Support includes outages that impact core functionality, although Magic Leap says we will be at the discretion of what that means. Troubleshooting with customer care, cloud services, valid warranties, all supported through the end of next year. Magic Leap 1 launched back in 2018, mid-year, powered by a tethered, waist-mounted compute pack and included a single-tracked controller with hand-tracking support that came later. So, pour out a little liquor.
Paris has banned e-scooters following a referendum back in April where 90% of residents, or at least the ones who voted, favored getting rid of them. Tier, Dot, and Lime all previously operated in the city with a combined 15,000 e-scooters. E-bike services in the city aren't affected, and privately owned scooters are still allowed. Dot says it will rehome its 5,000 scooters to other markets with high demand, such as Belgium and Tel Aviv. Tier says the majority of its scooters will go back to Germany or Warsaw, Poland, and Lime will ship their scooters to Lille, London, Copenhagen, and cities in Germany.
Yeah, scooters. Out of Paris into other markets. Meta is doing whatever it can to bump up the engagement of its new social network Threads. Saw a lot of signups and then a lot of drop in engagement. And as noted by many users across the world, is using Instagram, the company is anyway, to show a For You on Threads carousel with a button to open Threads directly from your phone. A company spokesperson for Meta said, "We have added a number of new features to the app since launch and are now making it easier for people to see their latest content from Threads directly on Instagram."
Starfield is already in the hands of some folks with early access, and if you are lamenting the exclusion of support for NVIDIA's Deep Learning Super Sampling, or DLSS, don't worry, modders got you. IGN notes that at least three Nexus mods have created a mod that adds not only support for DLSS, but also Intel's Xe Super Sampling, or XeSS. Mods also added a field of view slider not currently available in the game's own PC version. Starfield's official launch date is September 6th.
Sony announced the PlayStation Portal will launch on November 15th. The Portal will be available to stream PlayStation 5 games over Wi-Fi. It also costs $200. Pre-orders now open in the US, UK, France, and Belgium from Sony's official PlayStation Direct storefront. Sony wrote on its blog for PlayStation that other retailers will offer pre-orders starting September 29th. That's when other markets will be open, and support will be open as well for regions like Canada and Japan. And those are the quick hits. Okay, let's talk about Lenovo's big ol' Friday dump. Don't know why you did it, Lenovo, but we're going to talk about it because everybody else is. Lenovo announced the Legion Go, its first Windows-powered gaming handheld that's set for an October release for $700. Specs include an 8.8-inch QHD plus screen, an AMD Ryzen Z1 Extreme processor, a 49.2 watt-hours battery, and controllers that can pop out from the chassis. The Verge notes that it's less of a Valve Steam Deck competitor and more of a cross between the Nintendo Switch and Asus's ROG Ally. The screen is 2560 by 1600 with a 144 hertz refresh rate. 1440 would be great, but no, that's not what we have here. The guts also include 16 gigs of LPDDR5X RAM and up to 1 terabyte of internal storage. There's also a 3.5 millimeter audio combo jack. Some people will be excited about that. Two USB-Cs, one on the front and one on the back, and a micro SD reader.
Lenovo also announced a new Legion 9i, also slated for an October release, for a very specific $4,399. For that price, you get a 16-inch gaming laptop with a self-contained liquid cooling system. This differs from traditional air cooling and is designed to handle much more thermal mass.
Oh, but Rob, Lenovo did not stop there. No. We've got one other announcement. The company's new Legion glasses function as an external monitor for devices that support screen pass-through for AR glasses. Now, you might say, oh, so it's for the Legion Go, and what Rob just explained is the Legion 9i. Yeah, those are the obvious companions. But you do have other device options when compatible. The Legion glasses mimic a 27-inch monitor and can display at 60 hertz and 1080p per eye. The display also uses a micro LCD panel, plugs into a USB port, and features built-in speakers, sound, and brightness controls. You might say, I like it. What does it cost? $329.
So if you add all these
up. All right, Rob DeMillo. Let's talk about these. What are you buying, if anything?
All right, so I'm going to roll back also to the Sony conversation because I think it all kind of ties in.
Sure.
So I'm confused. Reddit is making fun of the Sony product, right? Like if you go to the Sony subreddit, it's brutal, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's already the Sony Play app that runs on Sony phones and all that, which I use, and it works really well. So I have no interest in getting the Sony, portal.
Uh-huh.
In the case of Lenovo, it's an interesting little product. I'm always confused by companies that cap out at 16 gigs of memory on these things, because you're going to notice that, right? It's great that it has all these other features, and I'm one of the people that's jazzed about the audio combo jack. Like that kind of stuff. I dig all of that. But this thing is going to make or break itself on how fast it runs, because it's a gaming rig. Right. And so having 16 gigs, I do not understand. So there's that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with Rob, because here's the thing. When these are PCs, I mean, this is it's a computer, for a lack of a better word. You expect it to run like your computer, but they're cramming all these parts in. They don't give it an abundance of RAM. So when you compare it to running on a computer, you're going to think it's a little bit sluggish, or you're going to think it's a little bit slow, because they can't put all of the hardware in there, because it would be just immensely expensive. So I think that, companies are ultimately, they're chasing steam, and I don't know that anyone has quite figured it out yet. You know, this, you know, the Steam, what Steam has is kind of awesome. I think everybody is trying to capture that lightning in a bottle again.
Yeah, I agree. And the 16 gig thing, it's like, I hate keep harping on it, but it's like a dime. Like, I don't understand, like just put another 16 gig in there. Who cares? Like, what difference does that even make to you as an OEM? So that's a little odd. And Rob, you're right about the catching up the Steam, right? I mean, it's, everyone wants to do it.
So, well, let's move on. Let's talk about, you know, for the first time ever, a neural network powered autonomous drone has been able to beat human pilots in high speed FPV drone racing. A team of researchers from the University of Zurich and Intel have developed a system called Swift, in which they came up with an autonomous breakthrough based largely on machine vision, putting the AI system on a more even footing with human pilots.
Yeah. So before Swift came about, researchers had to rely on a special motion capture system, to win against humans. Their new solution uses real-time data collected by an onboard camera, similar to those used by human racers. It also incorporates an integrated inertial measurement unit that measures the drone's acceleration and speed. Kind of knows what's going on in real time. That data is set to a neural network for processing, which allows the fully autonomous drone to win against multiple human FPV champions. Now, my first thought here was like, oh, it's like chess, where the machine is finally better than the human, but for drone racing.
I think chess is actually more interesting. Like chess is more of an interesting problem. I mean, this is a very robotic task. Like for AI to jump into this, I think this is the first time that a AI has powered a physical device in a contest kind of situation. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I remember seeing earlier. I mean, of course it does better than people, right? It's like, I don't understand why this is even a thing, like why this is a news article. I mean, maybe one of you guys can explain it better than I am.
Well, but it's, I mean, like, well, yeah, okay. So compared to the, you know, ongoing conversation ad nauseum, really, about autonomous vehicles on, mm-hmm. you know, on roads, you know, sure. and whether or not they, you know, they take out a lot of human error, but at the same time, they're not humans. So we're still doing some sort of a hybrid form of both. I feel like this is a little bit more of a, it's that conversation, but hey, look, you know, look what the machine can do.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a, like autonomous vehicle. That's a much harder problem. Right.
Sure.
This is a confined course with a very strict set of rules. Nothing's going to get in your way except the other contestants. So it just feels like it's like, okay, sure.
I think what's cool about this is that when you think about these drones are relatively small. So for them to be able to get enough stuff on the drone for it to be able to still fly at these speeds, I mean, these things are going really, really fast. Yeah. And to be self-contained, I mean, it is fully autonomous. That is kind of the thing here, because before they had to actually rely on these high-end imaging systems that you couldn't put onto the device. You had to, you know, they had to be tethered, you know, even if wirelessly, to something else to do that processing. And that's now happening on the actual drone. The other thing is, when you start looking at where this technology can go, you know, like search and rescue was something that was mentioned. You can send these drones out and they can fly very fast while they have their charge and actually survey large areas relatively quickly. You know, there are other things that they could do, such as, you know, forest monitoring or space exploration, or just things where you need devices that they don't know exactly their environment. So they need to be able to make decisions on their own. This mm-hmm. is the precursor to that. So I think eventually this could really be some cool technology as we build Skynet.
Yeah. Oh, God. We're all going to die. Yeah.
I mean, the Maui fires come to mind for something like this, right? You know, you've got a bunch of humans who are working as hard as they can to make sure that everybody who, you know, needs to be safe can be. This is great technology for something like that, where it's not even hours or minutes, but seconds that matter. And, you know, I can see those situations being really great examples of why this is when Rob DeMillo, where you were like, is this cool? It's like, well, it can be. It can be cool.
It's you know, it's going to get cooler, too, because, you know, one of the things the story notes is that as soon as parameters changed, the drones became significantly less efficient. So basically, they were trained on a very specific course with very specific lighting with gates in specific locations. And as soon as that changed, they, you know, I don't want to say they fell out of the bottom, but they don't do as well when they're not trained specifically on the environment that they're in. So there's still some work to be done here, but the fact that they could actually in a, you know, control situation beat human champions. I mean, these gentlemen are, you know, people are really good at flying these drones. The fact that they could actually get that done to me is pretty impressive.
Yeah. But that's kind of my point, right? I mean, if you take one of these things and you put them out in the field, you know, to Sarah's point about looking for folks in the Maui fires, it's a different environment. Like it's a lot, there's a lot more activity going on around the drone. They can bring the drone down. Yeah. Also,
variables different.
Yeah, 100%. Right, and so it's a different problem set. Also, I would look towards the military. Right, we've had drones for a long time in the military. I mean, there's tech in there. I wouldn't even call it AI. It's just very good at dealing with environmental situations and what have you. But it we should be beating on their door for rescue drones and that sort of thing. I just don't see how this made the news. That's my only comment about it. It seems very sort of computer science 101 or something. I know I'm being kind of a goofball about this, but
you're just too smart.
I'm curmudgeonly.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I think we're early, and at some point they have to try it in order for it to be what it's going to be someday. So this is, you know, like I said, this is not the Terminator T-1000 yet. You know, this is like the T-6. they're trying to get to that point. And I think that eventually the use cases will absolutely make themselves, available to us.
Excellent.
Well, Tom Merritt is, he's hopefully having the best time in Seoul, Korea right now, but his How to Make a Great Podcast class was a big hit. Many of you said we weren't able to make that class. Where can we, you know, find it somewhere else? Good news. You can still get the online course at our DTNS Patreon store. Tom explains the fundamentals of producing a really good podcast. And, you know, who else better to do it than Tom Merritt? He is good at this. You can download the class or stream it over at patreon.com/DTNS/shop.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
All right, we hear terms like IPO, initial public offering, company going public, NASDAQ. These are all terms we talk about on DTNS. If you're listening, you know what those terms are. But tech IPOs have had a hard time of it for the better part of 2 years, maybe a little bit more, depending on where you are on the spectrum. But things seem to be blooming again. This week, grocery delivery startup Instacart and data and marketing automation company Klaviyo both filed IPOs. Obviously, we talked about this last week. SoftBank owned chip designer Arm, which has an arm, I guess, which is SoftBank, announced plans to join the NASDAQ 7 years after being taken private in a $32 billion acquisition. So we've got some movement, right, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for anyone who isn't following financial markets so closely, a lot of this is locked into timing. For example, Instacart's valuation was shaved ahead of its IPO, which made it more attractive to investors. Meanwhile, DoorDash, let's call it Instacart's closest public market comparison, trades at 3.8 times Instacart's revenue. The way SEC rules work, management teams and bankers have to wait at least 15 days after the IPO filing before they can start their roadshow, with an offering taking place 2 weeks later. So Rob, you know, I know you've got some expertise in this area. Can you explain to us what a roadshow is, and does the timing of the roadshow significantly impact it in any meaningful ways?
Well, the IPO timings are important, right? So there's been less IPOs, obviously, over the last several years because of everything that's been going on in the economy. And then the IPOs themselves, within a given year, they've got seasons, I guess is probably the best way to think about it. You want to avoid the holiday season. You want to avoid summer because nobody is paying attention. But if you target the spring and the fall, which is usually when these things happen, it's not a rule, but it's usually when they happen, they'll go on these things called roadshows. And you can think of a roadshow as like an album release party. Kind of, you know, we're coming.
Like you're getting on the tour bus.
Yeah.
You're hitting the road. Yeah. 100%. You're getting people pumped.
Yep. 100%. There's usually involved in the, an IPO is usually, something that includes, the board, the executive team at the small company, and they often hire, an underwriter, which is, an organization. It's either a person or a bank or a financial institution that will put themselves financially at risk in order to help increase the cost of the PR for the IPO. And so some combination of those folks will put together slide presentations, maybe a demo, and they'll hit key market cities, you know, Boston, San Francisco, New York, in Canada, it'd be like Vancouver and Toronto. And they'll go on these road shows, and it's literally what you're thinking of. There'll be a big stage presence, drones, drones and like maybe lights drones. And cameras. And, yeah. And all that stuff. And they'll try and drum up support and more times than not, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Back in 2020, I think it was when Alibaba hit the markets, a lot of their success was based off of some of these roadshows. So it can go several different ways. It can either be a flop of a roadshow, or it can be a roadshow that actually generates a lot of interest and excitement and activity around the company that's trying to pop onto the market.
Now, okay, so Rob, you mentioned summer and holiday season being sort of like dead times.
Yeah.
The summer I get, we're in our summer slump now, although there's plenty of news to talk about, thankfully for us. But holiday season, I don't really understand, because isn't a holiday quarter supposed to be, especially for, I don't know, if you're selling hardware, you know, a place where you're going to make a lot of your money?
For a consumer, yeah, but if you're on a roadshow, you're not interested in the consumer at this point. If you've got a company that you're trying to bring on market, and you go on one of these roadshows, your target is going to be the investors, financial institutions, individual investors that want to, like, you know, get in on the ground
floor.
So it's
not about what you're selling; it's right. about who's yeah. buying yeah. into the eventual sale.
And let's face it, like in the holiday season, all the venture capitalists and financial institutions are all like skiing in Stowe and things.
Yeah, they're in Bali.
They're not paying any attention at all. Yeah,
right.
So long time ago, I actually got to attend a roadshow. I was kind of working. I was supporting the people who were doing the presentations and making sure that they were technically correct in the things that they were saying. Mm-hmm. But Rob, as you said, it's kind of like a giant party.
Yeah.
Of people and institutions with lots of money, and you're trying to get them to get in on that IPO. So, right. So, you know, Sarah, to your point, doing it right before Thanksgiving, that is not the time to have it done, because the people you want there are in Davos or something like that. They're not there.
Yeah. They don't care. They have no interest in what's going on in the market at that point.
Well, so Rob DeMillo, what are you thinking about? You know, we've got obviously ARM, big one, and that was being teased for year plus, and you know we're finally there. You've got a couple of other tech IPOs that have sparked people to say, okay, we're back. What do you think?
What do I think about IPOs being back?
Yeah.
They've never gone away, really, but it's definitely, I'm hearing more and more and more about it, right? So, you know, it's gone through this kind of cyclic adventure over the last couple of decades where there were a ton of IPOs. A lot of them just fizzled on hitting the ground, right? And that soured a lot of folks getting involved in IPOs. So the IPO market dropped, and then it's been too long. And so the, you know, so there's this little ebb and flow to the way all this stuff works. You know, the global pandemic did not help, in this last couple of years, but as we're starting to come out of the cloud, no pun intended, as we're starting to come out of the pandemic cloud, people are starting to get interested again, and people want to turn these engines back on, right? And it's not just in the tech industry; it's a lot of industries. You're seeing IPOs starting to show up again, but it's a lot more discriminatory. So back in the heyday, anybody with a website and you know a plastic trinket to sell could do an IPO, and now it's not quite sure bets, but people that are companies that are a little bit more backed and have a little bit more traction in the market and a lot more people using their services or buying their product or whatever the heck it is. And those are the ones that are generating all of the interest right now. I think eventually we're going to wind up going back to, you know, I've done this thing in the basement and I think it's really good and I need some money. So I'm going to try and IPO myself. But right now it is the Instacarts and the ARMs and the companies that have been around for a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure when you, Rob or Rob, last bought a Hallmark card, to give to a loved one, you know, maybe it was an anniversary or a birthday or a, you know, dads and grads type thing. Hallmark, the card company, is partnering with Venmo to let people send money along with physical greeting cards. Okay, let me explain. Hallmark plus Venmo cards will let anybody who wants to send money choose a card for a specific occasion, then scan a QR code, and then set an amount that they want to give that is associated with that card. So all I have to do is give you a card and say, you know, congratulations. Also, scan my QR code and get that $40 that I'm also giving you. So if it's my birthday, I get my physical card. I scan the code. I get my money in my Venmo account, if I have a Venmo account, which many people do. Venmo says that 78% of its users are already sending money as gifts. So this is something that Venmo is obviously banking on, you know, people wanting to do more of. The new option will cost you. It's $5. It's available online in physical Hallmark stores and other select retailers. So you are paying for the option to be on the pulse of tech, I suppose.
Yeah. My question on this is, are you paying $5 for the card? Or are you paying $5 for the option to send someone money?
For the option to give people money.
So you're paying $4.95 for the card.
Which is ordinarily free to do.
Yeah.
It's a $5 fee to participate in this fun experiment. That's what's going on here.
I see where
let's
other
say my Aunt Bertha lives, I don't know, in Belgium, right? We were talking about Belgium earlier, so it's on my mind. And she can't be near me. There's no, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this is like the worst idea or the best idea.
It would be a really good idea if there was no surcharge. Like that, like I didn't realize there was a $5 surcharge for doing this.
Or even if it was like 59 cents or something, but the fact that you have to spend money.
Yeah,
it's a to send weird. Money
yeah.
when you could send it for free without actually doing this
yeah.
is kind of confusing.
I mean, I have to assume that these companies are used to people, some, myself included, who sometimes go like, oh, you know, let's say I'm, I don't know, putting PayPal money into my bank account. Like, mm-hmm. do I want it to be immediate? That's a little bit of a charge. Or do I want to wait 3 days, which would be free? Most of the time, it's 3 days. But sometimes I'm like, yeah, immediate. I got to pay up front. So I think that this is a little bit more of that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although, you know, there's something thrilling. Like, I remember being a teen and opening up the card and the $20 bill fell out. That's pretty cool. There's a QR code and it's like, why is my Aunt Matilda trying to sell me golf clubs or whatever the heck it is?
Well, it's been a long time since we were children. I was telling the guys the other day, but you know, every Christmas, my Uncle Rich wrote me a check for $40.
It was always
in the card, right. You know, where I was like, $40. Oh my gosh. You know, at the time you could buy anything with $40. All right. Well, you know, if you like Hallmark cards and you use Venmo, that is an option for you potentially going forward. But we've been talking ad nauseum about all this stuff today. So Len Peralta, let's check in with you and figure out what you've been drawing.
Oh, you know, I know that Rob DeMilla was not excited about the drones too much. But maybe this, my art today will help that, you know, so, I don't know if this is a thing around the country, but here in Cleveland, we have an air show and, I've been thinking a lot about the air show. And so this is a little bit of an homage to that. It's AI beating, the drone, which is run by Dumb Old Human, if you get that. You know, it's that's the name of this piece. It's called Dumb Old Human, and you can get it at my online store, lenperaltastore.com, or at my Patreon, patreon.com/Len, where you back me at the Len Lover level, and you get this image. And I know it's not exactly the way that drones work. Like, don't talk to me about that, but it's more of kind of an interpretation. So enjoy.
I'm more excited about your drawing
artistic,
than I am about
that. I mean,
that's what I thought. I thought you might like that, Rob. Thank you.
So, Rob DeMilo, can you just give, you know, thank you so much for being on the show with us this Friday afternoon. So could you tell everybody how they can contact you? You know, tell us what you got going on, what you're doing.
You all know this already, but I'm the technology officer over at Skidmore, Owings & Merrill, architecture firm, worldwide architecture firm. You can find out all about me and all the places that I am by going to about.me/Rob DeMilo, and you can connect with me there. I'm always around and available.
Excellent. Well, we're so happy to have you on the show with us, as always.
Absolutely. And patrons, stick around for the extended show. Good Day Internet. It's our second round of GDI debates. We take on great questions of the day. Come debate with us.
Oh, the last time we did this, Rob and I were doing questionnaires. He won. I don't want to talk about
it. You guys did not know that I was a space nerd. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about space or something like that. So, yeah.
Well, just a reminder that our show, Daily Tech News Show, is live Monday through Friday. We're always on demand, of course. But if you can catch us live, we'd love to have you. 4 p.m. Eastern, 2000 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Just a reminder, we are off Monday for the U.S. Labor Day holiday. but we're back on Tuesday with Patrick Norton joining us. Talk to you then. Have a great weekend, everyone. This week's episodes of Daily Tech News Show were created by the following people: post-producer and writer Tom Merritt, post-producer and writer Sarah Lane, executive producer and booker Roger Chang, producer, writer, and co-host Rob Dunwood, video producer and Twitch producer Jill Kuz, technical producer Anthony Lemos, Spanish language host, writer, and producer Dan Campos, science correspondent Dr. Nikki Ackermans, social media producer and moderator Zoe Detterding, our mods Beatmaster, W. Scottus One, BioCow, Cap Kipper, Steve Guadarrama, Paul Reese, Matthew J. Stevens, a.k.a. Fat Gadget Virtuoso, and J.D. Galloway. Mod and video hosting by Dan Christensen. Music and art provided by Martin Bell, Dan Luters, Mustafa A., Acast, and Len Peralta. Live art performed by Len Peralta. Acast ad support from Tatiana Matias. Patreon support from Tom McNeil. Contributors to this week's show include Nicole Lee, Scott Johnson. Plus guests on this week's show included Tasia Custodi and Rob DeMillo. And thanks to all our patrons who make the show possible.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.